It is my honor and pleasure right now to introduce Rabbi Moshe Hauer. Many of you have not yet had the privilege to meet Rabbi Hauer, but Rabbi Hauer joined the OU in America as its executive vice president in 2020, and since then has been bringing the OU to even greater heights. And everything that you are experiencing here is really based on Rabbi Hauer's support of OU Israel. So you can all, you know, give your thank you to him afterwards. Rabbi Hauer, before he joined the OU, served as the senior rabbi of the B'nai Jacob Shari Tzion congregation in Baltimore for 26 years. And he is an active teacher of Torah who led a leadership training program for rabbis and communal leaders and was a founding editor of the online journal Klal Perspectives.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Thank you for the opportunity, for the kind words of introduction. And it's good to see everyone. Chodesh Tov. Guten Chodesh. I want to also acknowledge that the shiur, along with the rest of the day, is Le'ilui Nishmas Chaya Sasha Bas Rav Yosef Hillel. This is Linda Pruer Brachfeld, and we hope Mirtz Hashem that these words of Torah
recording
and anything which is generated from it is Le'ilui Nishmasa. It's always wonderful to come someplace which existed and was thriving long before I had anything to do with the OU, and then be given credit that it's only because of me. It's very, very nice. I appreciate it. And I hope more truthful things will be said here in Mi'atz Hashem throughout the morning. But it's a privilege to see what has been built by everybody here, what has been built by those who preceded us within the work of the OU, and Bezrat Hashem, there should continue to be Kiddush Shem Shamayim through people coming together to study Torah and to rise up along with it. Okay, what we're going to speak about today, Torah Chesed. It's an expression we know, Pia Pascha B'chachma V'Torah Chesed Al-Lashona, from Eshet Chayil. Torah Chesed. And Torah Chesed is such a fundamental concept, and the bond and the connection, the relationship between Torah and Chesed is such a fundamental concept that the Gemara, that the Talmud even asks, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Tes even asks, v'chiyesh Torah shel Chesed v'Torah she'ena shel Chesed. Is there an alternative? Torah Chesed sounds like it's a particular kind of Torah. And the Gemara explains that there could be something, a Torah which has an elevated element of chesed. But Torah chesed is so fundamental that you can't really have, the Gemara understands, a Torah she'ena shel chesed. How can you have such a thing? What's the relationship? What's the depth of the relationship between Torah and chesed? So what I'd like to do here in the time that we have is to just look at some perspectives, I think some which are perhaps familiar to you, that underscore the bond, the integral connection between Torah and Chesed, and then perhaps to pose to you a question, a serious question, a question which challenges this notion, so that we can then, with Hashem's help, expand our understanding of the relationship of Torah and Chesed. We all know that the Talmud, the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, that the Torah begins and ends with Gmilus Chasadim. Torah Tchilasa Gmilus Chasadim, V'Sofa Gmilus Chasadim. The Torah begins with Chesed and ends with Chesed. What does it mean it begins with Chesed? The Gemara's explanation of it is that shortly after creation, Adam and Chava sinned, and they found themselves unclothed. And it says, "Vayas Elokim lo Adam alishto kosnos or vayal bishem." Hashem dressed them. Hashem malbish arumim. Hashem gave clothing to the one who needed it, the one who was previously unclothed. It ends with Gemilut Chasadim. What's the illustration of that? Vayikbor oso bagai. Moshe Rabbeinu died, and no man was there, no man was around. Lo yada ish et kvurato, who buried him? Vayikbor oto bagay. So Chazal understand in this version that it was Hashem himself, God himself, who buried Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, the Torah begins and ends with Gmilut Chasadim. In a different version of Chazal, it points out that as well there's a midpoint, which is not quite the middle of the Torah, but a later point where Hashem, what other chesed do? So we have Malbish Arumim, Kover Mesim, and what's another one? What would be another one which we would want on the list? Bikur Cholim. Where do we have Hashem being Mevaker Cholim? By Avram Avinu. So the Torah is punctuated with Hashem's Gmilus Chasadim. All of these are not instructions of the Torah about Gmilus Chasadim, but fittingly, they're actually acts of kindness which were performed by Hashem. Because as you know, what's the basis for the mitzvah of Gmilus Chasadim that we have? Where does the Torah tell us that we're supposed to be kind and do chesed to one another? It tells us, V'halachta bidrachav, you're supposed to emulate Hashem, walk in the ways of Hashem. Hashem does all of these things. Hashem is Malbish Arumim. Hashem is Kover Mesim. Hashem is Mevakir Cholim. So we're supposed to follow in His ways. And that's the Torah. That's the framing. That's the superstructure of the Torah. And that's Torahs. Torahs Chesed. Torahs Chesed. We're a week, less than a week, a few days. Hayom, Chamisha V'Arboim Yom. Today is the 45th day of the Omer. In 5 days, we will celebrate Shavuos. We're going to read from the Torah what would be expected on Shavuos, which is Mamad Har Sinai. We'll read the story that occurred on the original, what Yom Tov of Shavuos comes to commemorate. For the Haftorah, we'll read about a similar, we'll read the Merkava of Yecheskel, a similar experience of Har Sinai, panim b'fanim, seeing Hashem. So, Rasa Shivchalei Mashelo Ro Yecheskel, the greatest prophecy, the greatest encounter with Hashem was Yecheskel. But we're also going to read there. What else do we read on Shavuos? We read Rus, Megillas Rus, Megillat Rut. And why do we read Megillat Rut on Shavuos? So there are different understandings of it. David HaMelech, born, died on Shavuos. Rus is the semel of someone who accepted the Torah, of Chesed as well, we'll see in a second. She's the example of a Gioret, of someone who accepted upon herself the Torah. She accepted Amech Ami Velokayech Elokai. This was the Kabbalas HaTorah of Rus. And as you know, when the Gemara looks at Geirut, at Giur, where does it learn the halachos of Giur from? From two places. They learn it from the personal story of Rut, and they learn it from the national story of the Jewish people. Har Sinai, Mila, Tfila, Hartzas Damim. The Gemara learns all the components of Giur from the way we accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. So we have the celebration of the national story and of the individual story. And what's the story of Rut? Does anybody know about the theological questions which Rut asked? How she came to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does anybody know about that? It doesn't say it in the story. What do we know about Rut? Rut is a story of Gemilus Chasadim, a person who came to Achas Kanfei Ashchina, who came to join the Jewish people by virtue of a tremendous loyalty and dedication to someone who needed it. To someone who she had actually gone to be taken care of, but who in the end needed her care. Someone who had arguably been the source of the greatest disappointment for Rus. And here she was a princess, marrying a prince, a prosperous, important person, and the whole thing just completely, the bottom fell out from under her. And nevertheless, loyalty, tremendous loyalty, that's her chesed. Parenthetically, you can say the same thing when you think about Hashem's chesed. When I tell you that the Torah started with chesed, if I didn't tell you about the story of the Kosnosor, what chesed would you think the Torah started with? Briyasa Olam, excellent, creation. Creation is... What did you say in Shemoneh Esrei this morning? Twice already. Gomel chasadim tovim v'koneh hakol. Hashem, as an act of kindness, created the world. But the Torah doesn't say, the Chazal don't say that that's the first chesed of Hashem. You ever wonder why? Why doesn't the Torah say, why doesn't the Gemara say, the Torah starts with chesed, breshit bara Elohim. That's the chesed. So you can have different answers, but there's one thing which is clear, is that when Hashem gave chesed to the world, we didn't deserve it or not deserve it. When Hashem clothed Adam and Chava, we didn't deserve it. He was supporting them in their betrayal of Him. They had one mitzvah. And nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did chesed. And Rus's chesed, beyond other things, you can't separate it from the personal disappointment which she experienced by virtue of this relationship with Naomi. But it didn't make a difference. Chesed. And the Gemara, not the Gemara, but the Medrash says, the Medrash Rabba says famously that in this Megillah of Rus, Ein ba lo tuma v'lo tara v'lo heter v'lo iser, it's not a halachic story. It's a story which is modia scharan shel gomlei chasadim. It teaches you the reward of those who do acts of loving kindness. And it's not just telling us the reward, but it's also, again, that's the semel, that's the symbol, that's the example, the paradigm of Kabbalah's HaTorah. The Kabbalah's HaTorah. Of course, we don't have to look further than the original Jew, the person who was originally attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu, and what was his pathway? Titen emes liYaakov, chesed liAvraham. Chesed Avram. The Torah is everywhere around Gemilus Chasadim. If I may, I would also add something else. You know, we're called the Goy Kadosh, the great holy nation. What's holy? What's holy about the Jewish people? We have a mitzvah in the Torah, Kedoshim Tiyu, that we're supposed to be holy. What's the mitzvah to be holy? How are you holy? I can't hear, I'm sorry. Mitzvahs, Torah, mitzvahs. If we would want to draw a picture of holiness, typically I would say we would imagine a picture of someone who's completely absorbed in their Tehillim, or in their Gemara, or in their Siddur. So there was a great personality of the 20th century, the earlier 20th century. His name was Rav Shimon Shkop. His name is familiar to some of you, I imagine. Rav Shimon Shkop was known as the Rosh Yeshiva of Grodno in Lithuania. And he was a very, very brilliant and creative Talmudic scholar. He wrote Shari Yosher. They have other Sfarim which are published from his writings, but very creative. Very creative, big Talmud Chacham, a Lithuanian Talmud Chacham. And he starts the Sefer Shari Yosher with an introduction. And in the introduction, he begins with the following question. The Torah says, Kedoshim Tiyu ki Kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha. You should be holy because I, Hashem, your God, am holy. He says, how exactly do we do this? So Hashem is holy. We're supposed to be holy. What is that holiness that we're supposed to emulate? And in fact, the Gemara says, Chazal say, Kedoshim Tiyu, Yochol Kamoni, you should be holy, I would think, like me. You realize, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ktushasi L'mala Miktushatchem. My sanctity is elevated beyond yours. You can't be as holy as me. It sounds sort of like so basic. What does it even mean? I would think, like me. Said Rav Shimon Shkop, Kedusha is not davening, Kedusha is not learning, Kedusha is not fasting. Those are all, it is true, they all tap into that thing called Kedusha. But that's not the fundamental element of Kedusha. You know what the fundamental element of Kedusha is? It's one where you try to emulate Hashem. How do you do that? How do you do that? Okay, so you understand that there are those who would answer this question by saying, Hashem's not in the material world. So for you to be a kadosh means that you should also have significant elements of your life that aren't just material, physical, human. They should be above that. Said Rav Shimon Shkop something else. He said, there's an aspect of Hashem which is fundamental. And that is, Hashem is the creator and sustainer of the world. Everything which exists, our existence is only because of Him. Hashem gives. What does Hashem get? Hashem doesn't get anything. The basic belief, you open the first page of the Rambam, the basic belief about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that everything needs Him and He needs nothing. Right? Basic philosophical understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem is all giving. Said Rav Shimon Shkop, the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you is to not be about yourself, about what you need, but to be about the needs of others. To be about taking care of others. Just like Hashem. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I love repeating what Rav Chaim Volozhiner said. It was a mantra of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. We don't have it in his writings anywhere. But he seemingly said it all the time. His son, when he writes about Rav Chaim, in the introduction to the little sefer which we have from Rav Chaim, the Nefesh HaChaim, he says, "Koy hayu dvarav eleinu tamid." This is what he said to us all the time. And parenthetically, I also found there's a sefer called Tcheles Mordechai from Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yaffe, who was a Talmud of the son of Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Volozhin, who came on Aliyat Eretz Yisrael. He was a very significant personality in the early Aliyat Eretz Yisrael of the students of the Gaon of Vilna. And he said that what his Rebbe, Rav Itzel Volozhiner, the son of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, said to him all the time was exactly the same thing. It was a consistent mantra of Volozhin, of the students of the Gaon of Vilna, which is, Ze kol ha'odam, lo la'atzmo nivra, ela la'hoil la'acherim, b'chol ma she'yimtza b'kocho la'asos. This is what man is all about. Person isn't created for themselves. They're created to be able to have a positive impact on others, to help others in whatever we have the capacity to be able to do. So said Rav Shimon Shkop, that's the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you. And so he says, that's why Chazal continue and they say, you would think like me. Hashem doesn't need anything. He's all about others. No, human beings have to also worry about themselves. What's the famous statement, the contrast to Chayecha Kodmin, right? V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you should love your fellow man like yourself. And we say, V'chay achicha imach, Chayecha Kodmin. You have one bottle of water in the desert, right? You know the famous story of Ben Petura, one bottle of water in the desert, Chayecha Kodmin. Human beings have needs. The difference between Hashem and people is that Hashem will not think about his needs because he doesn't have any. Human beings have needs. So we have no choice but to acknowledge them. We're not supposed to center our lives around them. We're supposed to center our lives around others. So even Kedusha, said Rav Shimon Shkop, is chesed. The Torah begins with chesed. The Torah ends with chesed. Even Kedusha, every aspect of it, is chesed. Sold? Hello?
Yes.
Chesed. Torah's chesed. That's why the Gemara says, what do you mean Torah's chesed? Is there a Torah that's not of chesed? The Torah's all chesed. So I have a question for you. Okay? A question. A real question. When did we get the Torah? On Shavuos, when? The first year that we came out of Mitzrayim. 50 days after we came out of Mitzrayim. What was the menu on Shavuos? Okay, everybody's saying milchiks, right? Some say cheesecake, some say blintzes. Right? But kulei alma lo pligi, everybody agrees milchig, you all know the story, right? We didn't know how to do shechita and so on and so forth. But somebody else said something which is, I think, more accurate. Mon. Mon. Right? When did we start eating the mon? On the 15th of Iyar. 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks and 2 days ago. That was when we started eating the mon. We didn't have blintzes. We didn't have cheesecake. I know this sounds heretical. I'm sorry, please. We had the mon taste like cheesecake. So that's a good shaila. If the mon, if you could say, I want the mon to taste like roast beef when you don't know how to do shechita. Are you allowed to do that? Right? But the mon, we had mon. Okay, so fine. So I'm sorry again to do a little idol smashing here. But we had mon. My question isn't about cheesecake on Shavuos. My question is that, so we got the Torah. We ended up in the Midbar for another 39 plus years, correct? How much chesed did we do during those years? How much chesed did we do during those years?
Not enough, because the back door, not everybody entered Israel. There are those that stayed behind.
Almost everybody stayed behind. But I want to. But what's chesed? You give somebody something to eat, right? Did anybody have a need for something to eat? The mon was delivered for every person. There was no tomchei Shabbos in the midbar. There was no food pantry. There was no soup kitchen. Every person got their portion. Nobody else's. Okay, so there was no food. Clothing they didn't need either. Not only didn't they need new clothing, they didn't even need anybody to wash their clothing. Right? The clothing was there, was kibigadim meguhatzim, as if they were fresh and pressed, they were taken care of. Shelter? The Anani HaKovot provided them with shelter. Okay, I got it. Kfuras Mason. Excellent. Even Kfuras Mesim, it says in the Gemara that they did it themselves. The Erev Tisha B'Av, everybody went and dug for themselves a grave, you know, Lolenu, and they went to sleep there. Do you understand the question that I'm asking you?
About emotional support.
For what?
What happened? Well, the story of Korach, let's say, when...
So it's possible... It's possible that there were some people who saw the trauma of being swallowed up by the earth and so on and so forth and might have needed some emotional support. Chesed doesn't begin and end with that. I would imagine that we could find some places where there could have been some chesed that were offered in the Midbar. But in general, the classic standard categories of chesed that are there, you could say again, Bikur Cholim, but it doesn't even sound like that there was Choli in the Midbar. They all went, they were healthy people who came their time, and they went. The standard categories of Chesed. The Torah begins with Chesed. The Torah ends with Chesed. The Torah has Chesed in the middle. Kedusha is Chesed. And the generation that received the Torah were excluded from the opportunity of chesed, because they never encountered need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cornered the market on the chesed. Is that odd? That's my question for you, okay? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes here to digest the question and tell me why it's a mistaken question. They taught Torah. So that's a good suggestion. Maybe the chesed was that they taught Torah. However, that's not simple either. Why? Because the Gemara says how they learned Torah. First of all, originally, we all heard the Torah directly from Hashem. There was no middleman. Then we said, Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's too much. You teach us. So what happened? So there was a Seder Limud. Moshe Rabbeinu taught. He taught to Aaron. Then none of you, Elazar and Isamar ended up. And then everybody. It wasn't a general interaction of Torah. The Torah was taught from the top down. It was very few people who were involved in that gift of Torah, in that chesed, even of teaching Torah to one another. For what? They didn't need a tent. They didn't need clothing. They didn't need food. So what do you need to be a guest for? They weren't like travelers from something. They were all there. It was their machna. It's a really tough question. Don't try to get with an easy answer. Yeah. There are some of the examples are tztaka. Like, let's say you might say, Malbish Arumim might be tztaka. Providing with food might be tztaka. But Bikur Cholim is not tztaka, it's chesed. Kfuras Mesim is chesed. They're both. They're examples of both. And that's the source for Gemilus Chasadim, is Halicha Bidrachav, yes?
The
dependence on Hashem I get. Absolutely. That period was a period, the Ochle Aman was one of utter and clear dependence on Hashem. But the interdependence, I don't. Could you? It is, I think that, you know, I would definitely accept the point that Klal Yisrael accepted it as a community. They didn't accept it simply as individuals. They stood at Har Sinai. How much personal interaction there was in the process of transmission of Torah or these things is less so. And, you know, so the notion of standing like an Eda, like a community, is true. And on that sense, yes, there's that aspect of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro that I would accept. That I would accept. Yeah, one could say that. Oset stoka b'cholei zahazon bonav u'bnosov k'shen k'tanim. Raising children, raising the next generation. It's interesting that even though the Gemara says that in a sense that that's the oset tzedaka b'chaleis, the Gemara asks, how do you have a person who does tzedaka all the time? People give tzedaka during davening, they have people knock on their door on occasion. Who's oset tzedaka b'chaleis? That's a parent who takes care of their children who need them. But nevertheless, in the Torah's mitzvah of chesed, it's not found. It's interesting. It's interesting. It's never an example which is brought in the Torah's mitzvah of chesed. So just a thought. I'll take maybe one or two more and then share a pause. Yes, please. I appreciate it, and I want to be clear. I'm a big fan of emotional support. I think it's one of the biggest chesedim that people can provide to each other. It's amazingly significant. In the midbar, there were a lot of conditions, you know, like a lot of times emotional support comes because of situational challenges. There was a dearth of situational challenges in the midbar. They were enveloped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love and everything else. And you know, health and whatever, lots of good stuff going on. So it's like hard to imagine that they needed to have a million support groups. It just doesn't sound like it. Good, excellent. No, I like that. That's very good. Aaron did see people getting into arguments and families having tensions within. So therefore you see that there was a chesed that was there that was provided by Aaron HaKohen. And these are good. Very, very, very creative juices going on over here. Yeah, flowing. Yes. Okay. Also, very creative. The giving the opportunity to give. Giving the opportunity to give. Yes.
What about when Miriam is punished and she's out to school?
Okay. It's beautiful. Excellent. Okay. So we're finding a wonderful array of opportunities that even quote unquote when you got it all, that there's still a chesed. Very, very good. I want to suggest to you a different angle, which is an angle of Torah's chesed, which is not found in a corner of the existence of the Jewish people, but which is in the essence of what the Jewish people were doing there in the Midbar. And perhaps the way to bring it out is by a citation from a different Gemara, Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, where the Gemara speaks about a Mishnah, very important Mishnah, which says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Lailam Haba. All of the Jewish people have a portion within the Olam Haba, except the Mishnah then lists a whole bunch of categories of people who lo aleinu forfeit this privilege. It is that Mishnah which actually serves as the basis for the Rambam creating the 13 principles of faith. Because the things which are listed in that Mishnah, the categories, are all failures of faith. What we call loosely apikursus, you know, heresy of one kind or another. And the Gemara asks, however, what's the technical definition of apikoros? Apikoros kagon man. What's an example of an apikoros? And the Gemara says, it's like the people who say, Mai ahanu lon rabbanon. Lidit huka karu, lidit huka tanu. What do the sages do for us? What do the rabbis, not the sages really of like once upon a time, but what do the rabbis, those rabbis cloistered in their places of learning, what do they do for us? They're learning for themselves the Mikra. They're learning for themselves the Mishnah. What are they doing for us? What are they providing for the world? Says the Gemara, that's heresy. Why is it heresy? Because it says in the Torah, it says in the Navi, Im lo brisi yomam v'layla, chukas shamayim v'oretz lo samti. If not for my covenant of day and night, which is, what's the covenant of day and night? The Torah, regarding which it says, v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. It's a day and night preoccupation. If not for my covenant of day and night, I wouldn't have made the world. Chukos shamayim v'oretz lo samti. I wouldn't have made the world. I wouldn't have maintained the world. Do you know what the Gemara writes in Maseches Shabbos? The Gemara says that when Hashem came to us, okay, it's Rosh Chodesh Sivan today. It's a momentous period which is starting right now. We counted Sfira 50 days. This is not just the home stretch. On this day we came to Midbar Sinai. By Yom HaZeh, on this day we came to Midbar Sinai. Hashem said, I'm not going to bother them. They just came. They just traveled. Right? There was no such thing as jet lag in the desert. Cloud lag. Right? So Hashem said, I'm not going to bother them today. Tomorrow, Moshe Rabbeinu will come to Har Sinai, and I'm going to propose to the Jewish people Matan Torah. And what's the Gemara say? Eretz Yora Vishakota. The earth was fearful and it was calm. What does it mean it was fearful and it was calm? The earth was waiting and saying, uh-oh. What happens if they say no? If they say no, there's no world. If they say no, if they reject Torah, there's no world. And by the way, this isn't just theoretic. It actually happened. When did it happen? Exactly. Somebody said Noach. In the days of Noach. You know that there's a significant tradition in Chazal that Noach could have been Moshe Rabbeinu. Friday night, you say Kabbalah Shabbos, Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Lamabul Yoshev, Vayeshev Hashem Melech Liolam. The whole thing is about Kol Hashem, the voice of Hashem. When did we hear the voice of Hashem? At Har Sinai. But then we start talking about the Mabul. Chazal say, it could have been the waters of Torah that descended to the world. Instead, it was the waters of devastation, of destruction, of the Mabul. What happened? It was a generation that didn't accept the Torah. The generation of the Mabul was a generation that rejected whatever the Torah was, the basic Sheva Mitzvahs or Sheish Mitzvahs, which were there at that point in time, that were given previous to Adam and his descendants before Noah. And what happened? Because we rejected it? The world was returned essentially to tohu vavohu. And so when they stood on the second of Sivan, and again Hashem was proposing the Torah, the earth shook. Will the Jewish people accept it? Says the Gemara, it's that those sages do for the world. Torah in itself sustains the world. Without it, there's no existence. And the Gemara then goes on and says, I have another verse to show it to you. Chamishim tzadikim b'sei chayir v'nasasi l'chol ha'makom b'avuram. Avram Avinu wanted to spare Sodom. If there would be righteous people within the city, the whole city would be spared. There's such a thing as the inherent value of values. The inherent value of values. There's a chesed of helping someone. And there's a chesed of giving the world its breath, its existence. And Kabbalas HaTorah, acceptance of Torah, absorption of Torah, sustaining Torah, studying Torah, strengthening Torah, is a chesed. It's the goodness that sustains the world. It might sound theoretical, right? I don't know about you. I just came from the United States of America. Maybe you feel better here. My world is shaking. And I'm not like a dramatic, the world is coming to the end kind of person. We don't know each other, right? But my world is shaking. It's everything about it. From family values to just human identity to the craziness. I mean, you know what happened in the United States last week? It's crazy. So you say, okay, so the person had issues. It's not a commentary on society. It is a commentary on society. It is a commentary on society. And if you have any doubts of being a commentary on society, you should have been with me on the plane last night. I love coming to Eretz Yisrael. I find flights very jarring. And it's not because I'm scared of heights. I am scared of heights of buildings. I'm not scared of heights in airplanes. It's not because of that. The reason is because I don't have a television in my house. I'm not a movie guy. Every time I go on the plane, I have a big screen in front of me. It's off, unless I want to see how many hours we have left, you know, to landing. But all around me, I have these big screens. And you look up, and you see what people are watching. The violence is nuts. It's mamish insane. I feel like tapping these people on the shoulder and saying, do you realize that what you're watching is actually totally insane? It's insane. It's regular violence and fantasized violence. On one screen, you see people on a battlefield blowing their brains out, which is happening in the world. And on the other screen, you see supervillains. I don't know what it is exactly, but it's just like completely imaginary, and it's only exciting. It's not like people who suddenly bring down the most huge grapes and cookies for people around the world, like superheroes. No, they're just like destroying people and turning them inside out. It's insane. It eats up the kishkes. And then I say, you know what? Why did I look up? Why don't I look back down in the safer that I have here? Because that's where the world is. That's where reality is. To say that those who have Torah. And it's even if they're not going out and teaching it from the rooftops. L'diduka koru, l'diduka tanu, the ones that they're implicating, quote unquote, by the statement, are the ones who aren't teaching. They're learning for themselves. They're learning mikra from themselves. They're learning mishnah from themselves. But there has to be some reality in the world. There has to be some truth in the world. Otherwise, it collapses under its own weight. That's Torah's chesed. That's an undeniable Torah's chesed. And the Jewish people in the desert, they didn't do, they weren't called upon on a regular basis to do what we might call conventional chesed, pedestrian chesed. We found here in this room wonderful opportunities that even in the Midbar they had to be able to do some chesed. But the Midbar's existence was about chesed. If the Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed, it wasn't in an incidental corner of their time in the Midbar that they found chesed. It was in their very existence that they found chesed. You know, I want to just conclude with a story that you all know. It's the story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's also a story which you probably reviewed recently. It's a story of Sfiras HaEmer. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Who was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was himself a person who was bifchinas, in a sense, one of the Mekablei HaTorah, one of the recipients and deliverers of Torah, of a certain part of the Torah. He spent 12 years in a cave. L'didhu kakaru, l'didhu katanu. He learned for himself. He learned with his son, it's true. The two of them were just learning together, hidden from the world. Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for them. They were completely taken care of. And then one day it was time for them to come out. And they came out. And they looked at regular people planting fields, doing regular chesed. And he said, what are you doing? Don't you know there's a bigger chesed to provide to the world? They're putting aside the life of the world to take care of some temporal needs in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, did you leave the cave to destroy my world? Not possible. Go back into the cave. And they went back into the cave, and when they came out, they understood that there's two chasadim. There's the regular chesed. And there's the chesed that they just spent 12, 13 years providing for the world. We have to understand that Torah will always be measured by its kindness. Gemara says so. It's mishtalemes lefi chesed sheba. The Torah is always going to be measured by its kindness. But there's a huge kindness that's there in nurturing the truth that needs to exist in the world. So the world doesn't collapse on its own weight. That the shaking, which is still there, somehow be settled by people who focus more sharply and more clearly on the Torah itself. His wife was home. She was home, and she was sending him packages in shul. And then he said, if she knows where I am, they're going to torture her, because he was a wanted man. They're going to torture her and find out my identity. So he disappeared, and he didn't tell his wife because he had rachmanis on his wife. That's what the Gemara says. He said he wanted to protect her because, you know, what happens when there's a wanted suspect? What are they? They go to the family, say, you must know where they are. She was able to say them honestly. She had no idea. She said, I know where they are. She took them to the shul. They weren't there anymore. She was innocent. That's where she was. That's where she was. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the way we continue the voice of Hashem that came out of our Sinai is by speaking about Torah, what we're doing today, what we do all the time. When you do that, that keeps the presence of Hashem in the world more fully. And we should recognize what a kindness it is. This is not a selfish exercise of spiritual fulfillment. This is adding to the foundation, the shaky foundation, and trying to firm it up. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the strength to continue to embrace the study of Torah, the study of truth, and may it spread far beyond these walls. Amen.